Is it just me, or is there talk of civil war all around us? Not just war, mind you. Not just common or garden war, but civil war. Mainstream media and alternative commentators alike are close now to making civil war closer to a promise than a threat. I've talked before about how hot tempers are now, and justifiably so. I've also said that while I know there's inevitably talk of pitchforks and flaming torches on the streets, that I believe the mob is always and only a tool of those who would goad ordinary people into violent action against their neighbours' homes and businesses and everything else besides. I believe that sort of chaos and carnage only and always serves the so-called elites. Am I the only one who's noticed that the relentless insistence on the imminence of civil war comes when so-called leaders are as unpopular as they've been in generations? Arguably as unpopular as they've ever been. Here in Britain, we have a Prime Minister, Labour's Keir Starmer, with an approval rating of minus 44%, having lost his deputy and most recently his ambassador to the United States of America, third-time unlucky Peter Mandelson, bestie of the world's most famous paedophile, Jeffrey Epstein, whatever he is, having plenty to occupy his hands in the cabinet office, more like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. Starmer must read in the papers day on day that he's about as popular as the proverbial fart in a spacesuit. I'm not even sure just how you can have an approval rating so far below zero, but then numbers never were my strong suit. Keir Starmer is less popular at home than Donald Trump is in the United States. He's less popular than the Japanese Prime Minister Shigeru Ishiba, who had to resign last year. Only French Prime Minister Emmanuel Macron is more unpopular at home than Starmer. That little Frenchman is on minus 53% after 8 years in power. Giorgia Meloni of Italy is on minus 28%. Friedrich Merz of Germany is on minus 38%. What I'm saying is, isn't it obvious what's going on here? Across the board, certainly across the West, those that we're led to believe have their hands on the levers of power have approval ratings in the toilet. And right when they're all clinging on by their fingernails, actually, more likely being held in place by those really making the decisions and not yet inclined to perform the coup de grace by cutting any more puppet strings, right when it's plain the respective peoples of the countries have had more than enough, the mood music, the earworm being planted is civil war. It's well said that wars don't settle who's right, only who's left. It's well said too that the only terrorism is state terrorism. It's well said, as well as it was by US General Smedley Butler, that, quote, war is a racket, it always has been, it's possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. It's the only one international in scope. It's the only one in which the profits are reckoned in dollars and the losses in lives. Close quote. All of that is true, but civil war. Worth remembering that civil war is the worst of all wars. Always has been and always will be. And yet it's civil war that we're being promised out. Like, by killing our neighbours, we'll fix anything for ourselves. Leaders all over should be looking at the exit, should be watching what's happening in Nepal, just as a for instance, where politicians have been chased into rivers wearing only their underwear by angry mobs. Although, to be fair, it looks like the angry students in Nepal have been stirred up by agents of the United States of America looking to push, you've guessed it, regime change. But when those at the top know they're in serious trouble, loathed by their populations, what do we hear but the promise of inevitable civil war? Which is to say, right when the righteous anger of people should be focused on those who've actually made lives miserable, if not unlivable, right when the powerful have sown perpetual war here, there and wherever, right when national borders and national identities have been deliberately dismantled by those powerful, right then, right now, what are the people being expected to think must come next? Why? Taking up arms, not against the powerful, but against each other. against other people just like them, or other people with even less in the scheme of things. It's my bet that the panic-stricken powerful, seeing the outlines at least of the writing on the wall, see that their best option while they cling to power, or while they run for cover with their ill-gotten gains, is my bet they're doing what they always do, which is seek to have us take our anger out on other ordinary people. Look how the murder of conservative Christian commentator Charlie Kirk in Utah last week is being used to inflame the same old tired propaganda about the so-called far right, the so-called far left. The mainstream media, at the very least, is still flogging the same old dead horse of old-school politics. Look how the march of hundreds of thousands of ordinary folk through London on Saturday is being described by the BBC and the rest of the mainstream media as the action of far-right extremists. Over and over, when things have been made as bad as can be by the powerful, when ordinary people have had enough, when populist parties rise in popularity, over and over, what do we see and hear but the determination to insist the trouble is us? That the trouble is ordinary people, like us. Corruption has seen to the destruction of economies by those who have taken almost all. Wickedness has seen to the stoking of horrific war in Ukraine and the death so far of nearly 2 million people there, as well as the slaughter of men, women and children in the rubble of Gaza. And so what do we hear right now and for weeks? What do we hear but the promise of civil war? The fear and desperation of those responsible should be plain to all. Not content with having us blame ordinary people for the ills afflicting us, they would seek as well to persuade us that nothing now can stop the advent of civil war. We have to see this for what it is, which is to say the desperate last plays of those who have already bullied and battered everyone in the playground out of their lunch money, and who would now start a riot among the innocent and blameless while they make a run for it. They would have us take up arms against each other. They would persuade us that our neighbours are loading their weapons already. I've said as much before, but it's worth saying again, that behind all the Sturm und Drang, all the war, all the talk of this crisis and that, behind an atrocity like the murder of Charlie Kirk, behind all of it, what we're being distracted from is the mess that's been made by those not beside us, but above us. It boils down to this, which is to say, it's all about money and control. They've schemed and thieved until they have almost all the money. What they don't have yet, not quite, but that they urgently and desperately need, is the control. And before they get that as well, with the help of the oligarch technocrats, who would put us safely behind bars in the digital cage made of round-the-clock surveillance, central bank, digital currencies and digital IDs, before they get that as well, they would have us cut each other's throats in civil wars. I don't know about you, but regardless of the murder and the mood music and the earworms, I don't think so. There's a better way, much better. It's made of no more than seeing how we're being played and simply and peacefully refusing to be played anymore.